Caroline Elkins' book, Britain's Gulag, The Brutal End of Empire in Kenya, is a remarkable piece of revisionist history. Spending the last 10 years studying the Mau Mau uprising and the British counterinsurgency campaign, poring through old British colonial records and supplementing her research with extensive interviews of hundreds of Kenyan survivors, she has completely overturned the conventional widely accepted story of horrific Mau Mau savagery and civilized British restraint. Even the old official figures hardly support the widespread feeling that the Mau Mau was among the most barbaric uprisings of the 20th century. Officially, they killed fewer than 100 British and 1,800 collaborators, while the British killed 11,000 of them and detained 80,000 in prison camps. The truth, however, is far different. Among Elkins' first discoveries was that although, like the Germans, the British kept extensive files on their activities, most of them had been destroyed decades ago. The pattern of destruction, she says, is that, quote, any ministry that dealt with the unsavory side of detention was pretty well emptied of its files, whereas those that ostensibly addressed detainee reform or Britain's civilizing mission were left fairly intact. Reconstructing that history, she finds that, in fact, the British detained or confined at one time or another about 1.5 million people, nearly all of the Kikuyu, which were the tribe that took the Mau Mau oath. British colonial policy, though it made the occasional nod toward bringing the light of Christianity to the heathen, was comprised of enforced starvation, squalor and disease, forced labor, routine torture, castration, rape, and murder and savage beatings both by deliberate policy and at the whim of settlers who enforced a reign of terror. Elkins believes, although nobody will ever know for certain, that many tens of thousands, and quite likely hundreds of thousands, were killed by the British. Certainly, if one includes the collateral effects of disease and starvation, the higher numbers are quite likely. The cruelty and savagery, the sheer despair visited on 1.5 million people, most of whom never even picked up a weapon, takes hundreds of pages, really, to do it justice. It's not possible to do that here. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about the whole sordid affair is the constant description of the Mau Mau as representing some sort of elemental evil. Their oaths of resistance, accompanied by traditional Kikuyu rituals, were routinely described as subhuman degradation on a scale that poor civilized Westerners could not even fathom. The colonial secretary, Oliver Littleton, wrote, quote, "The Mau Mau oath is the most bestial, filthy, and nauseating incantation which perverted minds can ever have brewed. I have never felt the forces of evil to be so near and so strong as in Mau Mau. As I wrote memoranda or an instruction, I would suddenly see a shadow fall across the page, the horned shadow of the devil himself." And this was a man who knew as well as any what the British were doing to the Mau Mau. Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. Denunciation of perceived enemies in terms that draw more from Christian demonology and visceral fears of moral contagion than from rational analysis, while we simultaneously inflict on those enemies far worse damage than they do on us. Sound familiar? The Israeli occupation of Palestine is one obvious parallel. Readers of the New York Times could on Sunday see an op-ed by Elie Wiesel decrying the Palestinians' lack of sympathy for the suffering of Jewish settlers in Gaza. It's hard even to communicate quite how disgusting this is, but what's really important is not the extreme moral bankruptcy of Wiesel, but his uncritical acceptance as some sort of universal spokesman for the moral conscience of humanity. Another parallel is the so-called war on terrorism. No decent person could do anything but condemn the nihilistic and cruel London bombings, but there was something truly nauseating about the chorus of calls for Muslims and Islamic societies to admit their evils coming from people who would never dream of understanding the evils of Britain or the West. One of the crucial imperatives for the anti-war movement right now is to use the failed occupation of Iraq to shake the blind faith in the moral supremacy of the West in general and the United States in particular that is shared even by most critics of the war.